station.
And boom! Why should anybody aspire to be a common man, an average man? Do you realize what it means to be average? That means you're the best of the lousiest. And the lousiest of the best. Now, if we demand more and more for producing less and less, while the have-not nations encourage and inspire and indeed require hard work and maximum effort, if we deify the common men while they encourage and reward the uncommon ones, well, the end result of such a lopsided race as that is too obvious to require elaboration.
I mean, it's like, hello?
Ladies and gentlemen,
Капризов.
We got him.
Different personnel used out here 3-on-3. Victor Rask just jumped on
the end. Poked away, Kaprizov in for a chance to win it. He scores! Kirill the Thrill is for real! Welcome to the NHL, a game winner for Kaprizov, and the Wild win it 4-3 in L.A.
The sunlight hurts my eyes.
Spurgeon goes to the left corner, plays it back behind the Vegas net. Will center it pass in front, Kaprizov shoots and scores! Kaprizov on a power play for Minnesota, and the Wild have tied the hockey game again, 2-2.
Zuccarello in the circle. Finds Kaprizov on the far side. To the slot for a shot, he scores! Zuccarello and Kaprizov work their magic again, and the Wild lead it 1-0.
A lovely, lovely day, the NBA, the NBA, and LBA. Who can stay? Beat Green Bay. We'll do it all on the arm of El Dante.
Kaprizov.
Let's play.
And Dumbo lobs one in the air out to center ice. Nukestad settles it down, waits for support. Got it through to Kaprizov. Kaprizov wanted the wraparound, still with it. Fires, score! Here comes Kaprizov for Minnesota. Kaprizov fires, save, Gibson, rebound, he scores! It takes him 17 seconds, and Kaprizov wins it for the Wild!
1-2-3, fight!
The other day, the other day, who can say, that Green Bay, who can say, NBA?
Right!
I mean, you know, we see those guys being here long term, and they're part of the foundation of this organization and our team. And I mean, you could see it on the ice that they're whether they like it or not. I know they're young players, but they're leaders on our team, and they provided us with a lot on both sides of the puck. So yeah, they're a priority.
Now getting to a loose puck, Jordan Greenway deep in the offensive zone, threw it in front, they score. Kaprizov driving to the front of the net, got a piece of that Greenway offering, he tucks it home, and we're even at one with 12:03 to go in the third.
Kaprizov. Kaprizov.
Yes! Take that!
There's only one way to beat us. It starts with the C and ends with the T.
Yes, yes,
you believe in miracles?
Yes! Yes, I do!
Kaprizov.
Lovely day. B.A. Dubé. The NBA and El Dugue and Uri Kuste.
You doubted Billy Guerin. You doubted... Who's our coach again?
Dean Evason.
You doubted Dean Evason. You doubted Kirill.
Kaprizov.
Who is his agent? Do we know who his agent is? Do you know his name offhand?
Paul. I don't even know how to say his last name. I've only seen it written, like Theophanis or something like that.
Paul, you doubted Paul Theophanis. Everybody doubted everybody. But I will say this. My source was still correct that he re-upped. When I say he, I mean
Kaprizov.
He re-upped for his membership at the Stalingrad Golf and Curling Country Club.
I always
it's a golf and curling
one.
Country club, I found out. Tenneby. I did a little investigative work on it. But he did it only so he could keep his handicap. It wasn't because he was planning to play in Russia. That's the only spot where my source missed. So I don't really feel like I had it wrong when I said, you don't pay your dues for the next year at the Stalingrad Golf and Curling Country Club if you're not planning to play hockey there and live there and get a lot out of that country club membership. He's in. It's exactly, I think, as Michael Russo had reported back at the state fair with us, 5 years, $45 million. Were those the numbers he was throwing around then? That's what I thought they were, or close to that. If I remember correctly, the Wild wanted to sign him to a lifetime contract, a 99-year contract.
Yes.
He wanted to sign for a 9-month contract, and they met. I wouldn't say that's meeting in the middle at 5 years, 9 months, and 99 years. But they both gave a little bit. And that's what a negotiation is supposed to be, closed circuit to the coroner's office. That's what a negotiation is supposed to be. You take a little, you give a little. You don't just go, well, this is what we got for you. I'll still never forget that. I don't like to talk about myself much or use myself as an example or an analogy. Huh? But one of my many contract, and I'm using air quotes, negotiations was, they pushed it over to me and I took it and I go, well, that's a nice starting point. I said, you know, I was hoping for a little bit more. And they go, well, that's the offer. I go, well, that's nice and everything, but, you know, I've done this, I've done that, a little of this, that, lat, emphasis, lat. I, you know, somebody, can we come up with something? Go, no, that's, I go, well, what do you mean? He goes, well, it's basically a take it or leave it offer. And I go, well, on the top of my email, it says, you know, because they alert you like 15 minutes before your time, you know, it says, 15 minutes says, in 15 minutes, it's contract negotiation. It doesn't sound like we're negotiating at all. Yeah, you must have mislabeled the, it should have been 15 minutes till take it or leave it. Because you're not negotiating with me. And he actually looked at me and said, Common, we knew you'd come in high, we'd come in low, so we just split it down the middle.
I always love that one.
Well, how did you know what I was going to,
yeah.
What number did you think I had in my head?
They're mind readers.
Yeah, how do you know that's in the middle? That's when I got on their bad side. I said, just print it. Go and print it. I basically said, then I used a bit more colorful language, but I said, you like screwing people, don't you? That's what I said to him. And they just, you know, the head back, you know, with the eyes wide,
yeah.
the astonishment, like, what? Well, no, really, just admit it. You like it. And you'll go back in there and you'll go tell everybody else, oh, we got him. You should have saw the look on his face when he had to grovel and take the pen and he had to sign his name to push it back. But, you know, beats working for a living, so I accepted it. I swallowed hard. I groveled, and I here I am. It doesn't sound like that's the way it went with Kaprizov and Finoglu, his agent, or whatever. How do you?
Theophanis.
Theophanis?
Thea.
Theophanis. It doesn't sound like Theophanis and Kaprizov, they didn't have to go. It doesn't sound like the Wild pushed a contract at him and said, take it or leave it.
I think they might have towards the end.
Oh, you do? Really?
Well, just because, I mean, these numbers of 5 years, $45 million, this has been out there for a while. It's not like the Wild at the last second went up.
Jumped up.
I do think, and I don't know. I'm just, I think.
You're speculating. Yeah, well, can you hit speculation real quick? Because it sounds like you're speculation. So give me your speculation.
Speculation.
Well, because even, I think Russo said with Barrero yesterday that maybe at the end here that Guerin had said, all right, I'm done with the agent. We're going to talk to Kirill about this and just say, you know, this, like, they can't go up anymore. They're already overpaying for him.
Right.
Now, maybe by the time 5 years rolls around, you could argue maybe you're underpaying him. But based off of what you've produced so far in the NHL, like, you're getting more than a typical player. Like, so I think the Wild weren't going to go any higher and just got to a point where, like, This is our last offer. Like, we're not going any higher than this. Yeah. You can take it or leave it.
So, in other words, do you think it's possible that all those years ago, while I didn't know it, I was negotiating with Bill Guerin, and he was at one time he was one of the members of the coroner's office. But that's basically what they told me, is just take it or leave it.
Well, I think Guerin was a little bit more giving up until the last offer.
Well, and
he moved a little bit.
And I'll also say this. His contract is a bit more lengthy, and it's a bit more obscene, too, than mine. But that's okay, too. I'm happy. Look, I just do it because the reason I complain about it is, think about how dangerous it is. He could get fired for this. He's ripping management. Who would dare do that on 100,000-watt radio? Look at the courage Common has. Well, it's because they know that I'm just making it up as I go along. Well, I'm not making up how the negotiation went, but I'm just I'm not bitter about it anymore. I already slashed the tires on that former front office guy's tires after it. I waited a couple of days too, so they wouldn't know it was me. But he came up the next day and goes, "Somebody slashed the tires." I'm like, "God, what a bad break." You might want to call Bobby.
Oh, no.
Might want to call Bobby and Stevenson's. That's what the guy called the guy that tried to trick me out of 20 out of 12. I need $12 to fix my tire. And like I say, he didn't trick me. I knew it. But he worked so hard at it, and his bit was so good to me. It was like street theater, so I gave him the $20. But he even mispronounced the name of that gas station. It's like that cowboy restaurant, Toby Keith. He goes, that gas station down there, Bobby and Stevenson. He was just trying to pretend like he's an out-of-towner, and he's lost. Could you help a guy? Brother, can you spare a dime? And I thought, I even said to him, I mumbled under my breath, I handed it to him, I said, "Merry Christmas." And then I told you, didn't I, that he wanted my address? You know, I'll mail it to you. And I said, okay, you don't have to do that. But mail my address. Here's what I do. Give him my address, get home, and my house has been ransacked. You know, he gets the address. He knows I'm at the fights. He goes, "I got 3 hours to ransack his house. I come home with nothing left. How stupid does he think I am?"
No!
Stupid is, as stupid does. So Kaprizov's in the fold.
We got him.
We can all breathe a sigh of relief. Now, I think as you had said before, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I thought when we were, because some kind of power rankings came out for the NHL about what teams are close or not. And the other thing, and the Wild really weren't highly, whatever this poll was.
Like the next like 5 years or something.
Yeah, and it didn't seem like they were real excited about the Wild's chances. And I thought to myself, I thought this was the foundation. And then with Fiala and some of our other guys that we have, Erickson Ek and a few of our defensive players and our new goaltender and our no-nonsense coach and GM, I must have misread the room. I thought we were, I'm not ready to say that we were the best team in hockey, but I thought we were like on the cusp again of like, we don't rebuild here in Minnesota. We reload, and that this was going to be more like a Parisi Suter kind of atmosphere around here. Am I wrong? Or we still have a long way to go?
I think one, it was kind of a national story as opposed to locally. So you're gonna view things differently. They look at it as Parisi and Suter are gone. So basically, the Wild, not this year, but the next 3 years, will have like $15 million cut off their payroll compared to the rest of the league. Right. Okay. So it's just you're just at a disadvantage there. And because you have that, it's gonna be hard to go out and fill your needs that you have right now, number one center, via free agency or even trade to a certain extent. It makes it difficult to do. So I still have hope because I think they have some young prospects waiting in the wings. It's just a matter of how long it takes them to figure it out. I really like Marco Rossi. I like Matt Boldy. I think they'll be mainstays, and they'll be playing for cheap for the first couple of seasons. So I think there's if those guys emerge. But it's just kind
what
of a matter.
What does Leopold think he is? The Polad brothers? Playing on the cheap? Is there arbitration? Do they have the same kind of deal as in Major League Baseball?
They're on their rookie deals.
Yeah, okay.
So that's the way it is for the National Hockey League. When you have a salary cap, you need guys on their rookie, just like we've talked about with quarterbacks in the National Football League.
Okay.
If you're on your rookie deal,
all right,
and you got some couple guys that will be on their rookie deals, just a matter of whether they're ready now or whether it takes a year or two.
Yeah.
And I guess we'll find out.
I think we will find out. So I want to talk more Wild, obviously. Oh, by the way, Bill Guerin will hold a hastily arranged news conference at 1 o'clock. We'll carry it for you on this radio station. And I think you told me it's a possibility that the headliner just might be Kirill
Kaprizov.
He's supposed to be there.
Now, he uses Does he speak any English at all, or is he all...
He speaks a little English. He really didn't last year, but I think it was one of those situations where he could speak more English, but acted like he couldn't. So we'll see.
So he'll probably have a translator.
Maybe. Yeah.
And then he'll probably also have somebody able to translate his dollars into rubles. Probably do that too. I wonder what that is. I wonder how many rubles are in a dollar. Maybe you could research
that. I can get
that
for you.
I'm so tired of getting harassed by the coroner's office for teases. And I had a really good tease that was football related that was going to be... Oh, I know what it is. It's not football related. You'll like this. I think you'll like it. Have you ever heard of Watergate, Tenneby?
Yeah.
We have our own Watergate scandal here at the radio station.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I did. Can we get an open that Common Man Investigates? Because I'm going to start an I team, I'm going to call it. I'm going to start investigating things around this place. I'm sick and tired of people just... You know, just basically boldly and outlandishly saying and doing things and then not having any repercussions at all. I'm going to start holding people's feet to the fire because I have my first one. Is there a Watergate scandal at the Fan? Common investigates. That's next. Along with some conversation next on the Fan.
And the Fan.
It's the Vikings kickoff concert with country music star Dustin Lynch live at the Commons at U.S. Bank Stadium, Sunday, September 26th, presented by Miller Lite. This outdoor free concert begins at 10 a.m. before the Vikings home opener versus the Seattle Seahawks. A game ticket is not required for this free event. More at KFAN.com, keyword events.
Spray paint the vegetables, dog food stalls with the beefcake pantyhose. Kill the headlights and put it in neutral. Stock car flaming with the loser and the cruise control. Vitamin D, got a couple of couches, sleep on the love seat. Someone came saying I'm insane to complain about a shotgun wedding and a stain on my shirt. Don't believe everything that you breathe to get a
couple 13-14 pass Common Man program. This is, I might start this into a podcast, and because I'm also harassed about not doing a podcast. I think my podcast is going to be called Common Man Investigates. Then I'll investigate all sorts of different crimes and misdemeanors. High crimes and misdemeanors. I might call it high crimes and misdemeanors. You're familiar with the Watergate scandal, right?
Sure. I wasn't alive.
Right.
But...
back in 1972, the Nixon campaign had some henchmen burglarize Watergate, which were the DNC headquarters. Why they felt the need to do that, he routed George McGovern. It was the biggest landslide victory ever, but they felt the need to. And then I think the White House still records every conversation that they have with somebody. They record these conversations. Like if you're talking to the head of North Korea, you want to have that recorded so they can't say, we never said that.
Yeah.
Right? But there's a... the famous Watergate tapes and the famous 18 and a half minute gap. Are you familiar with the 18 and a half minute gap?
Not really.
According to President Nixon's secretary, Rosemary Woods, on September 29, 1973, she was reviewing a tape of the June 20, 1972 recordings when she made a terrible mistake during transcription. While playing the tape on a Neumann 5000, she answered a phone call, reaching for the Neumann 500 stop button. She said that she mistakenly hit the button next to it, the record button. For the duration of the phone call, about 5 minutes, she kept her foot on the device's pedal, causing a 5 minute portion of the tape to be re-recorded. When she listened to the tape, the gap had grown to 18 and a half minutes. She insisted that she was not responsible for the remaining 13 minutes of buzz. The contents missing from the recording remain unknown, though the gap occurs during a conversation between Nixon and H.R. Haldeman, one of the plumbers, one of the henchmen. 3 days after the Watergate break-in, Nixon claimed not to know the topic or topics discussed during the gap. Can't remember. He was riding Roger Clemens in it. Haldeman's notes from the meeting show among the topics of discussion were the arrests at the Watergate Hotel. White House lawyers first heard of the gap on the evening of November 14, 1973, and Judge John Sirica, who had issued the subpoenas for the tapes, was not told until November 21, after the president's attorneys had decided that there was no innocent explanation they could offer. I don't know. I bring this up because this is where Common Man investigates. This email came to me, Tenneby, the other day. Hey, Common, is Tenneby's Gary Bettman interview on the podcast? If it is, do you know, or does Tenna know what number it is? I'd love to hear it. Delicious. If it's not, maybe that would be something for digital. Thanks, water quality guy. So I said, well, it must be somewhere in the system.
I always love that one.
I said, it would be fun to play it bits and pieces to find out the biggest mistake, the career-ending mistake of Tenneby. And I went into the system, and it's missing.
It's not there?
It's like missing 18 and a half minutes. What happened to the Bettman interview? He just decided to say, what? Let me guess. You had an expiration time stamp on it. You know, sometimes we time stamp these things.
I'm sure that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just gone.
They expire at some point.
So now, maybe the most embarrassing interview. So bad that PA, who's done interviews at a high level.
For a really long time.
Really long time. Had to take you aside and say, look, let's sit down and talk about it. You really blew that.
Yeah.
And you're so embarrassed by it. And I guess I don't blame you. I don't know if this is necessarily a fireable offense. You disposing of the evidence, but don't try to deny it. Common Man investigate.
Deny what?
Common Man.
I don't even remember doing the interview. Yeah, I don't recall.
You don't recall.
I don't even recall having him on.
As a matter of fact, what you're trying to say is you really have no innocent explanation that you can offer, right? Isn't that funny? You were concerned with Kaprizov. That might be the very last installment of a Common Man investigation, by the way, too. Kind of went over like a lead balloon. I thought it was actually pretty good. Long lead up for the punchline.
Sure.
I can't remember. Did you thought a much shorter deal. The 3-year deal was the one to fear, right? That is like, well, he's got one foot out the door. He just wants
That's
to,
what I was worried yeah. about. Anything under 5 years right. concerned me.
And so you're,
so
I mean.
I'm very happy. Yet.
So you're delighted with this. Yes. As delighted can be.
Yeah.
Do we have any other? I mean, is it just like a straight $9 million a year, or is there more in the beginning, less at the end, or vice versa? Because didn't DePrezian Suitors, it wasn't the same amount every year, was it?
Well, so their contracts were before a new CBA came out. So after the CBA, they basically eliminated those types of contracts because teams were circumventing the salary cap by front loading dollars.
Okay.
Right? So that's what they did with DePrezian Suitor. It was 13 years, $98 million, because they didn't want the stigma of a nine-figure deal.
And who would?
But they were making, you know, so their average over 13 years was $7.5 million. That was the hit against the salary cap. But for those first X amount of years, they were making $9, $10, $11 million in salary, in actual cash. And what happened was, you know, those contracts at the time were being handed out quite a bit, because by the time Parisian Suter would get to years 11, 12, and 13, when they're 39, 40, 41 years old, they could retire, because at that point, you know, making $1 million of actual money.
So they've already made hay before the sun went down.
Yeah, it was a way for them to get more money, but then the team would only have a $7.5 million salary cap hit. Now, the league since changed that, and we're going to punish the Wild for having those contracts, which is why they got bought out.
Okay, so this is basically...
Because other teams had been doing that.
You know, you remember they called something the Roselle Rule. No, that's not. There was some contract thing that happened, and they always refer to it as that because some contract changed. That maybe was the Joe Smith secret deal. So the Wild, basically, those contracts with Suter and Parise, were those the ones that basically created the change in the CBA? Were those the two deals? I said, wait a minute, this isn't going to work anymore.
They were the last ones. Had been other. I think Marian Hossa had one of those kind of contracts.
So is it just straight up nine every year?
We don't have exact details.
Okay.
But I believe Russo, and he didn't have all the details.
Okay.
He believed that it's actually going to be less in the first couple of years.
Okay.
Than it is going to be in the last couple of years. And the word is not in my brain right now. There's there's a certain amount of money that gets taken out of every single NHL player's contract.
Okay. It's called taxes.
It's not taxes. Okay. And I feel like an idiot that I can't think of the word right now. But let's say it'd be like...
insurance. Yeah, we got to pay for your insurance. No. You take your insurance out.
Here, I'll do it with you. Let's say you make... Okay, let's stick with Corey Cove. Let's say Corey Cove makes $500,000 a year.
Right.
And iHeartMedia does what the NHL does. They withhold 20% of that. So $100,000, Corey would not get paid of that $500,000 until the year's over.
Huh?
And then if the NHL, they have to meet some sort of threshold to make enough money to then give that 20% back or a portion of that 20% back based on how much the league has made or hasn't made.
You know what Corey Cove's response would be to that?
I don't like this.
So given we're in the middle of a pandemic, the team has not been making money the last 2 years because you haven't had full attendance in the buildings.
Poor Rich and National Hockey League owners.
Go ahead. Sorry. That the theory is that Kaprizov wouldn't withhold it immediately. He wants more money in the future because he'll get more money back from the league at that point, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
If I had the word, then someone will remind me of it. But
escalator clauses. I know that. Is that it?
No.
I'm going to go with it, though. I like escalator. I wonder why they don't call them elevator clauses. Because you could have went with escalator or elevator, right? But they decided to go with it. I guess because the escalator just keeps going where an elevator does stop. Let's break. Let's come back. I had another tease lined up. It's
escrow is what I was.
Escrow.
That's the word.
That's what it is. Held in escrow.
Yes.
It's a no-brainer.
So the league holds every player's money at a certain percent in escrow. And then depending on how much money the league is making or how much they are losing, they give a certain percentage of that money back to the players.
I do have, it's football related. It has to do with a piece today in the Fish Wrap Factory West Side. And it's, I got a couple of, it's in regards to Zimmer. I got a couple of Zimmer things. You turned me on to a, cheap shots coming from the East Coast.
Throwing shade. Yeah.
So we got cheap shots from the East Coast. It's time for Zim to circle the wagons. They're coming to get him. We'll talk about that next. Common Man Program on the Fan. The FAN. Morning out on the golf course today. Played a two-person scramble against two others. Tenevia played with John and Tara, my friends, with All Elements Roofing. They belong to the Monticello Country Club. We went out and played. We hit 2% was there. Sales guy Metzen. Let's just say Metzen and Tara destroyed John and I. It was over after 12 holes.
I hear Metzen's pretty good.
He's a really good player. He hits the ball straight and strong off the tee, very accurate with his irons. He chipped in. I had a chip on three that went in and out. And then he did chip in on a par three a few holes later. And then Tara made three or four bombs with her putter. And let's just say it was a humbling experience, but it was nice to share time with them. All Elements, they're your roofing specialists, both in residential and commercial. You've been hearing quite a bit about them from, and you'll hear more in the future too. So if you need some roofing help, I would highly recommend All Elements. We welcome them to the iHeart Advertising family. We also welcome Kirill
Kaprizov
into the fold. You played last year, then we weren't sure what was about to happen, and the next thing you know, it's announced yesterday a 5-year, $45 million deal to continue his career with the Minnesota Wild. You had mentioned to me off air that, and then we talked about it on air, that Bill Guerin about to have a news conference at 1 o'clock, hastily arranged live from the fuse box. Kirill Kaprizov is expected to be there. we're anticipating he will be using a translator, but maybe not. And I started to think, you know, now that he's going to be with us for a while, it's obviously going to be in the United States. He's going to be here in, you know, St. Paul, you know, the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, St. Paul's, you know, Minnesota in the United States. It might be a goodwill gesture from us to him to start to learn to speak a little bit of Russian. Why should he have to speak our language? Why can't we speak some of his language, particularly during games itself? So he's on the power play. Tenneby, do you think you can find the word for shoot? The word shoot in Russian. Can you find that?
I don't know if I can do it with multiple O's because I don't know if that would translate. Okay. So I'll shoot just
okay.
Shoot.
Okay.
Стрелять.
One more. And you did slow it down there, right? Because they have that option for slowing it down, right?
I did not slow it down, though.
No. Slow it down once.
How do you slow it down?
Oh, I just saw in one pronunciation a guide I learned that had a little thing that said slow it so that you can make it really so you can understand. Maybe that's not available on yours.
Стрелять.
I'll give you the English spelling of it because obviously they use different.
It sounds like she's saying street light to me.
Well, it's spelled Strelyat. Strelyat.
Strelyat.
Strelyat.
Whoever the translator is, it sounds like she's been drinking. Maybe I bet vodka, too. It's Russian vodka made from potatoes. Vodka. Yeah, you know, that's the only word I can do. Am I going to get canceled now because I'm trying to do a Russian dialect? Sorry, isn't that what they say? Don't they say vodka? Sputnik. Vodka.
Should I look up Adam Oates?
See how you say Adam Oates? How do you say... How do you say Sputnik? Vodka. So, Strelyat? How do you say that again? Because that's what this...
Adam Oates. Adam Oates.
Adam Oates just said... she needs a blood alcohol test. I think we need to test that blood alcohol. She's slurring her words. So once again, how do we say shoot?
Should I search first round elimination?
Wait, hold on a second.
Now that we have Dollar Bill Kirill locked up for 5 years, we're never going to lose in the first round ever again.
Let's try first round elimination, though, because that does, I like that. First round elimination. Vodka. Drinking vodka from the Silver Cup.
Выбывание в первом раунде.
Sounds just as bad in Russian as it does in English, doesn't it?
Выбывание в первом раунде.
It's really...
No wonder we haven't gotten along with the Russians.
Yeah, how do you learn to speak that language anyways? I will tell you this. To me, you know, you'll see all those late night TV, learn to speak a second language and do it in 2 weeks. You can't do it in 2 weeks. When you were in school, did you have to take a foreign language?
I took Spanish. Yes.
We had Spanish, French, or German, and so because I was a baby boomer, right? And my dad served in World War II, and you know the Germans were kind of the kingpins of the Axis powers, right? So I picked German, and I know like four. Let's just say that already by seventh grade, my studies, I didn't take them very seriously. About the only thing I can say in German is "Öffnen dem Fenster." Öffnen dem Fenster. That means open the window. That's the only
I don't know
because I probably wanted to jump out the window from German class. I don't know. Öffnen dem Fenster. And then there's, you know, I can how they learned to count in Germany? I don't. Oh, ein. Oh, and zwei. Oh, and drei. I used to be able to count to like 12 in German. But so this, if we would learn some of the Russian language, I think we could make Kaprizov feel more at home. Shade thrown all the way from New York City, right? This is so good. I can't believe this. Rudolph, what do you think of Rudolph now? I was watching the Giants game on that Monday night. Or was that a Sunday night game, Thursday? Well, regardless of what night it was, yes, did you get my text? Because Rudolph made a nice catch. And I immediately, because I'm sure it's the last thing you expected me to ever do again is, what do you think of Rudolph now? But I texted it anyways. During the Giants, What do you think is, for those that don't know, that was a running joke I had with Tennessee anytime I'd watch a Viking game, because Tennessee always thought Kyle was okay, not great. I probably overrated him a little bit. So anytime Rudolph would make a catch in a game, I would immediately, no matter if it was for a one-yard game or not, I would immediately text Tennessee and say, what do you think of Rudolph now? So I did that to him during the Giants-Washington game, got no response. Maybe you didn't see it. But Kyle Rudolph now applies his trade in New York City for the Giants. And I don't know who he said this to, but it was on a post-game, pre-game show, or some wacky radio morning show in New York City. The 103.4 Zoo. But he had some things to...
He was on the field.
He's
on a practice field. Oh, okay. So obviously he's just talking to the New York Giants media.
Okay.
Now, this was from a Vikings fan on Twitter who had somehow found this. So there's no context to what the question was asked. What did he say before this? What did he say after this? All we have is kind of like this 15-second window.
Okay.
But still interesting.
You see that day in and day out, the way he pushes us on our fundamentals, on our technique. And it's to me, it's the first time I've had a head coach that's not a defensive coordinator. So it's a head coach that's in charge of the entire team. And it's been a lot of fun for me to get to learn from him. You see that day in and day out.
Oh, sorry.
Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? How's that for gratitude? Club keeps you for how many years? You're all in it together. Went through the Minneapolis Miracle. Went through the 37-7 shellacking, the highs, the lows, the ups and downs, and then what do you do? What do you have to say about your coach? Isn't that funny? Chris Carter, everybody's got to have fall guys. Sounds like Rudolph is blaming his woeful shortcomings and inadequacies as a tight end on the head coach being a defensive coordinator, not a head coach. Though I will tell you this, Tenby, it's the first time I've heard it from a player. But the Rubes have sent me emails many times saying, this guy's nothing but a defense. And we've talked about it, Tenneby, about how you've talked about it. I've talked about it, and others have as well, regarding the head coach, in that it was part of the reason I think he hired Norv Turner. He didn't. And Gary Kubiak. Both were former head coaches, and both were offensive-minded coaches. They were both offensive coordinators, then became head coaches, and then went back to offensive coordinator, back to head, back and forth. Once you're an offensive coordinator, you get head coach, eventually get fired, you go back to being an offensive coordinator, then you get another shot at it, so you go back and forth with the jobs. And so then there are those, and it sounds like including Rudolph, who thinks the head coach then is really nothing but a defensive coordinator and a head coach in a defensive coordinator's clothing. You know, the old wolf in sheep's clothing kind of a thing? That he's in name only as a head coach. He's really just a defensive coordinator. But see, I actually believe that that can be an advantage, because there's nothing wrong with delegating. If you think you have a weakness, and that weakness would be, like for me, checking my own emails. I had you do them for the longest time, and then I finally figured it out. Leave the offense to somebody else. He can do the defense, and then he can focus even more on it. So I don't know. Yeah, I think it's an interesting topic. It raises a lot of interesting issues is what it does regarding, should a head coach be just more of an overseer? Should he just be like the CEO and mandate things from above and then just stand back on game day and sort of orchestrate the whole thing? I don't know. I think it's something we want to dig into in the next hour, and maybe even sometime with Mark Rosen at the 2 o'clock hour. We want to take a break, though, because Bill Guerin, the general manager of the Minnesota Wild, a hastily arranged news conference from the Fuse Box. Along with him, we expect to hear from Kirill
Kaprizov.
He signs a 9-year, $45 million deal. The news conference is next, right here on your radio, home of the Minnesota Wild and the Common Man. Is the fan.